A big Yasher Koyach Aaron for opening up your home. What a good to discuss. Any time that you didn't get together is always a gewaldig zach, and to facilitate that is a big schus. But befrat l'kavod iskashus to big tzaddikim, it's a little bit after Yud Shvat, but the tzaddikim that we're trying to connect to through Yud Shvat are tzaddikim that continue on. They're not tzaddikim that you just connect to once a year. So in the schus of the iskashus that we're trying to have, position that we do have and will continue to have to Rashash, to the Rebbe Rayatz, to Lubavitcher Rebbe, Schusim Yogan Lein about Kol Yisrael Yishbi Zaycha, amongst your whole family, amongst the whole Kilo, all of Kol Yisrael, to Shef Rebrach Vatzlocha Ad Beli Dai. The Shechina Kedosha should be sure in the home, in the family, in all of our homes, in all of our families, and from there to all of Kol Yisrael Bez Hashem, we should be Zaycha to experience all the Brachas and Hashpois Tavis that come with Hashor Seshchina, the Gashmis of Ruchni, as Vias Kotzak Rachim, and Meir Vimein Omein. So, you know, I'll start with a question. It's a question that's always, like, bothered is a strong term, but it's always been, like, sort of on my mind. That's also an exaggeration, but, like, okay. It's been something that I once in a while think about, and I don't have a good answer for it, and I don't know if anyone does, and anyone will have, I don't know. But, like, whenever, you know, we talk about tzaddikim, it's never to be able to define or to truly capture. It's just a point of connection, a point of iskashus. So, as I mentioned, one of the tzaddikim that is revolving around the Indian of Yud Shvat is Lubavitcher Rebbe. So, the seventh Rebbe. So, one amongst the unique inyanim that the Rebbe had, as everyone knows, was that he gave out dollars, right? That was like a big avoida. People would go up and he would give a dollar. The intention was he's making wishlich to give tzedakah. But with all the simple explanations of, you know, yeah, to be mezaka, another yid with tzedakah, shliach mitzvah, it's obvious that there was like something otherworldly going on over there. It was not the thing of him giving out dollars was something unique. So it's something you need to think about. It's one of those things that sometimes you have a kasha in learning or things like that, and you can sort of intuitively know that that you can figure out the answer. So then it's worthwhile, you know, putting in the effort. But sometimes you have an intuition that says you're not going to get the answer. So then it's like, okay, what's the point? So my intuition says I'm not going to get the answer. Why the Rebbe's giving out dollars? I don't know. But like I said, a point of discussion. So, you know, in previous years when we get together for Yud Shvat, as I mentioned, it's the Yartzeit of the Rashash, Schusa Yogan Aleinu. So the Rashash, the Rayatz, the day that the next year the Rebbe became Rebbe. So it's a good zach to connect, to say a Torah that connects the Rashash with Chassidus, which is not such a hard thing to do because the Kabbalistic mathematics, you know, the formulas behind Chassidus is the Rashash's Torah. That's really, when you have the Kisveri developed by the Rashash, that is the backdrop for Chassidus. So I'll give an example of that, and it's also Bashkocha Pratis. Yud Shvat also, obviously, always comes a little bit before Tu B'Shvat, so you have to make Achanis for Tu B'Shvat. And it's also during the weeks of Shoivim. So we have to talk about something about Shoivim. So we'll pick something that tries to connect all of that. So things like this. There's a Rama in Hilchos Tainis. So in Hilchos Tainis, we know that when we think of Tanisim, we think of the ones that we're obligated to fast, the communal Tanisim, whether it be fast days regarding Beis HaMikdash, obviously Yom Kippur, that goes without saying. But there's many sugis of a person taking on a fast for tshuva, for tikkunim, to take on a fast. So There's a machlekes between the Ravid and the Rosh in Maseches Tainis. The question that they're dealing with, Rishainim, is a person who was makabel Tainis, a personal zach, not for the tzibur, personal Tainis, and the situation became that it's like too difficult for them to fulfill it. They became ill, low lane, whatever the situation was, they can't. So what do you do? Okay, so it is what it is. You can't fast, but is there an Eitzah? So the Ravid, the Rosh in Maseches Tainis, brings down from the Ravid that the Ravid said there's an Eitzah, which is to give tzedakah instead of fasting. To be paid to the fast with tzedakah. And the Ravid brought some Mamari Chazal to sort of show that tzedakah is like a fast. Okay, that's the Ravid. The Rosh says, tzedakah is always a good thing, says the Rosh, and if you can't fast anyway, so you might as well give tzedakah. But the Rosh questions whether giving tzedakah is really a pidyon for a fast, whether that works or not. Says the Rosh, a tainus is certainly much more, it's much more mesiris nefesh, you would think, than giving a few dollars to tzedakah. But okay, that's what the Ravid says. The Rosh sort of questions it. That's the Ravid. The Shulchan Aruch, it's interesting, the Shulchan Aruch in Beis Yosef and Hilchos Tainus quotes this discussion, but in Shulchan Aruch itself, the Shulchan Aruch does not quote this halacha, that there's even a possibility of redeeming a fast with tzedakah. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't say it, the Rama does. The Rama brings down the Yesh Oimrim, then a situation where a person is having a hard time fasting, whatever it is, so you're paid with tzedakah. So that's where he's coming from. Okay, so such an idea. The question that the Mekubalim have dealt with, though, is like this. In the one of the Sfarim from the Arizal is Sha'aruch HaKadosh. So in Sha'aruch HaKadosh, we've mentioned this before in the past. In Sha'aruch HaKadosh, there's a whole section talking about the different fasts that the Arizal suggested a person takes on to be misakin certain chatoim. And we're talking about not like, half a day. We're talking about 40 days, 84 days, 163 days. We're talking about big avodas of fasting. So, and each chait, it's interesting. I mentioned this once before, is that if you go through it in Sha'aruch HaKadosh, you'll see that the numbers of fasts is nothing to do with how severe the chait is. You could have something that's only a derabanan and you're fasting hundreds of times, whereas a deraisa, and it could be chayvi prisas, and it's just a handful of times. So it doesn't have to do with severity. It has to do with Shemus Haktoshim, the gematria of the Shemus Haktoshim that you're trying to be misakein, connect to whatever it is with these inyanim, it has to do with the gematria of that. So different averis are poigim kivyochel in certain Shemus Haktoshim, and that's the fasting that you do. So that's the thing. The most famous time of that Yidden did this was during Shavim. According to Arizal, the times of Shavim is an inyanim of Tikkun HaBris. Shmir Sabris. And the Arizal says is that for chatoim that have to do with bris, if a person's fasting, it's paid dalad tanesim, 84 fasts. It's really 84 times 5. So it's a whole bunch of fasts. So obviously, shoivim is not going to be long enough to cover it all. But at least, you could start with shoivim and end middle of summer, whatever it is. But there's a fasting. So the question that the Mekubalim dealt with is like this. So you have the Ramah. The Ramah says that the Ravid, that you could get stuck instead of fasting, which is, again, it's questionable in the Rishon. The Rosh doesn't like it. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote it. But the question is, Befrat, if a person wants to do the Tikkunim of the Arizal, fasting to be Misakin with the Arizal, so does Tzedakah take care of that? Does that work? So it's a big discussion. I'll give you just, some of the Mar Mekaymus. One of the great Svardashim, it's a discussion amongst the Svardashim Mekubalim, primarily. So it's like this. One of the great Svardashim Mekubalim, early 1900s, was named, his name was Rabbi Yehuda Pesaya. So I might be mispronouncing the last name, but Rabbi Yehuda Pesaya, he wrote many, many sermons. A very, very big Mekubal. He was, he was an Ish Kadosh Admoid, like an old-fashioned Mekubal, like Dibukim, like the real. So he was, that's nothing. I mean, the Iker is his Torah, he was a Goyen Olam. But anyway, so Rabbi Yehuda Pesaya, one of his tshuvas svarim, was asked this question, could Pidyon Tzedakah take care of the Tanesim of Dari? And Rabbi Yehuda Pesaya basically says no. He says no. He says even if, again, he's a Sfardi, so he was saying we don't go like the Rosh, like the Ravid anyway. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote it. So first of all, Bechlal, the whole idea of being Paida fast with Tzedakah says, one of his tshuvas svarim, he says, Bechlal, we don't go like that. But even Lo Yitzur, you would. It's one thing if you're just, for the Rive of the Rishon to say, but once the Arizal was Megala Sodis and Tikkunim that are taking place with fasting that have to do with Gematrias of Shemus HaKadoshim, like Mechatesi to change it at all. The Arizal said fasting, that's the Tikkun, it's fasting. His Lashon is Mi Yovei Achra Melech. Once the king says what to do, like you're going to come and question it. The Arizal said, it's fasting, it is what it is. That was Rabbi Yehuda Pesaya Shita. not just him. The Kavachaim also, when the great Sfarad Shapayiskim, Kavachaim also says that if a person is doing fasting for the tikkun of the Arizal, tzedakah doesn't work. It's not he gives tzedakah. It's a good tzchus anyway. It's a mitzvah, obviously, but it doesn't help for these fasting. That's their shita. Mitzad sheni. There were Sfarad Shapayiskim that held not like that. So, for example, everyone's heard of the Chida. The Chida's grandfather was the Chesed Avram, Avram Azulai. He was a great, great Mekubal. Chesed Avram is a classic sefer. So in Chesed Avram, he talks about this in one place, and he sort of without explaining like much, but he writes that avada tzedakah would take care of a fast. It would replace a fast, even in the avodah of the Arizal, the tikkun of the fasting, according, you know, with the kavanas of the Arizal. Tzedakah would take care of it. He doesn't explain much how and why, but that's the Chesed Avram's opinion. There is a sefer that we have. It was a Ben Ishchai. Ben Ishchai in one of his tshuvas farm. So he also was asked this, and he says like this. He says again, the Chesed Avram that's Mekel doesn't give much explanation or like gedarim about how to do it or whatnot. So it's hard to, you know, to figure out what his particular shita was. But the Ben Ishchai was Mekel, but he explains like this. He raises the issue of Rabbi Yehuda Basai, which is like the Arizal said fasting. What are you supposed to? How do you? So the Ben Ishchai has the following thing. He says I could show you at least. He says two things. First of all, he says the minig is to rely on tzedakah. So he says that alone, the fact that that's the minig and people rely on it, people do it. Okay, so Klal Yisrael knows what they're doing. So that's Aleph. But he says, but you want to have a makar, like what's that? Like within the Kisari, maybe some episode a makar. So the Ben Ishchai suggests the following thing. He says, I could find you somewhat of a makar. What's a makar? So he says like this, you know, I mentioned before that the fasts that the Rizal recommends for different avirs are like very, very long. So, but there is an Eitzah. The Rizal does give an Eitzah, which is to fast consecutive days. So, for example, the Rizal says if a person, you know, the average fast that the Rizal is talking about is what we have, which is that you, from sunrise to sunset, right? Like, not like Yom Kippur or Tisha B'Av, like it, but says the Rizal. But if a person fasts 24 hours, right, sundown to sundown, like Tisha B'Av or Yom Kippur, right? You do that 3 days in a row. That's kilu 40 fasts. That's kilu 40 fasts. Okay, so there's an Eitzah, right? Fasting 3 days consecutively. That's an Eitzah. It's called Tanesim Ritzufais.
Back to back,
straight. 72 hours straight, if you can do that. So that's says the Ben Ishchai. That's a concept. And the Rizal uses that other, let's say, 2 days in a row equals, there's a 27 fast. There's different cheshbonim. So says the Ben Ishchai, what's the aside? If the number is, if you're supposed to hit the number 40, right, because it has to do with gematrias and Shemesh HaKadoshim, then why does three consecutive days fasting accomplish that? So says the Ben Ishchai, Elamai, it must be, is that we recognize that when you're fasting 3 days in a row, that's much more severe, right? It adds quality to the fast. In other words, there's two separate things. There's quantity of fasting, which is, okay, you want to hit the number 40, fine. Whatever the reason, whatever tikkun you need is 40, so you need to hit the number 40. But what the reason was Megala was that if you can take a fast and intensify it to the point of where it's like mamish, like a chomer dika fast, that's kilo, it's 40. So the Rizal was Megala that 3 days in a row, that's like 40. So says the Ben Ishchai, but the concept of what? Of making a fast day more intense and severe, and memela it counting as many fast days, that you already see a makar in the Arizal. Mm-hmm. So therefore, says the Ben Ishchai, if the minig is to give tzedakah, and that takes place of fasting, says the Ben Ishchai. So therefore, what I would say that it's coming from this idea, which is that you're intensifying a fast, and the mela it makes the fast day keilu many many days. Therefore, says the Ben Ishchai, if you're gonna be paid, if you're gonna redeem use tzedakah, then what you should do is make at least fast 1 day, but make that fast 24 hours because that's all that we know from the Arizal. When you're making this intense fast, all we, you know, you can't be mechadish too much, right? So it's like the only makar that we have from Narizal in terms of making a fast day intense is a fast day that starts off 24 hours at least, right? So says the Ben Ishchai, that's what you should do. To be makabel a tain is 24 hours. And then give tzedakah on that fast day for, you know, but like a significant amount that it's like, you know, it hurts a little bit, you know. And then that intensifies the fast. And that idea of taking a fast of 24 hours and intensifying it, that you already have a makor in the Kisferi. So that's the Ben Ishchai Zeitza. It's Ben Ishchai Zeitza. Okay, fine. That's what you find in the Paiskim. The problem is that Lamais, it's not the minig. It's not the minig. The minig is to be completely makel and to just be paida fast. And let's say, give an example of 84 for Tikkun HaBris, that you'll find by, you know, Shar Shemaim or other places where they have like Tikkun Shoivim and they, you know, doors are open for anyone that wants to join. So they'll say 84 Shkolim. Right? Doesn't hurt so much. Shouldn't hurt. That, you know, it's not, you're not talking about such a mysterious nefesh. And they recommend that you should be makabel tainus the day of when you give tzedakah. But what type of tainus? 24 hours? They don't suggest that. They'll say, you know, for the regular day, if you can't, at least a little half of the day. If you can't even do that, okay, so just give tzedakah. So it still remains a question of what's the inyan of redeeming fasts with tzedakah. Again, if you're just relying on the Raiva, that's one thing. But if you want to like sort of accomplish what the Arizal is revealing to us to accomplish through fast days, like what's the inyan? How do we know that you could just be paided with tzedakah? Again, that's where Rabbi the Bessai's issue was, that you're dealing with inyanim that we don't understand to begin with, right? So it's like, how do you know to be mechadish that a tzedakah can do it? So that's what all the Sfaradish HaPaiskim were coming with that approach, which is like mehechatesi. How do you know to change anything that the Arizal said? So that the Ben Ishchai had this eight. So it's like, okay, I found something like a knach in the system of the Arizal to be able to intensify a fast. But again, like the Ben Ishchai said, but that means that you have to at least be starting. You have to model it after the Arizal, which is at least to start with a 24-hour fast and give tzedakah that makes the talk intense. So again, but like I said, the minig is not like that. So what's pshat? Okay, so here's the nakuda. The whole idea of the fast that the Arizal was Megal and Sharuch HaKadosh. There's a big question that the Mekubalim deal with, which is like, what exactly is this inyan? In other words, historically, by Ashkenaz, there was a tradition going back to early Rishonim called Chassidi Ashkenaz, Rabbi Chassid, the Baal Rekeach. Early Ashkenazi Rishonim, there was an idea that the Rishonim already talked about, which is what's called Tshuvas HaMishkol, which is taking upon yourself a lot of fasting and a lot of sigufim, a lot of zachin, in order to be misakin for certain averus. So the idea of having like a tremendous amount of fasting to be misakin for certain things, that was already known. That was known in the Veld that comes from Rishonim and Ashkenaz. So the question that the Mekubalim deal with is like, what exactly is like, is the Arizal just giving us different numbers, or is it something else? Is it something else? Like the idea of having like a tremendous amount of fast days from Rabbi Yehuda Chassid and the Rekeach from the Rishonim, that was an inyan of like Yisurin. Like the Gemara says in Yuma that Tshuva obviously brings the Kapara, and Yisurin, suffering, also does. So these Rishonim were saying, you know, bring the suffering on in your own terms. You know what I mean? And then that'll be Yisurin. So is the Arizal basically doing the same thing, the same idea, just different numbers? You know what I mean? Or is it something else? Something else. So the Sfaradish, so the Mekubalim have dealt with this. The truth is, to me, it's a little bit of a pella. I think there's a key. The key to understanding this is a piece from the Arizal in Sharuch HaKadosh himself. So it's just a few lines. It's not so difficult. But it's interesting. This piece that I'm about to share with you, in Sharuch HaKadosh itself, is printed like smack in the middle of the Sefer. Like in a random spot. But I saw from Yaakov Elazel, that he writes that from Kisfayad, this piece was really originally mamish in the beginning of Sharuch HaKadosh, because this to me is the key to what the whole sugya of these many fasts that the reason was Megal is about. Said Reb Chaim Vital like this: V'yadua, it's known, Sha'achet, that when a person chas v'shalom sins, pegam v'kesem v'chulda b'nefesh. Besides the fact that there's an aveira now, and there's all sorts of, you know, the person rebelled against Hashem and whatever. But besides all of that, there's a certain pagam v'kesem v'chulda. There's a certain like stain almost. There's a stain, and chulda is like metal, like a rust benefesh that accumulates on the nefesh because of sin. V'zecholi hanefesh atayra. This is a sickness that infects a healthy nefesh. And what's the effect of this rust, of this stain? The soul will be unable to see and to perceive the ultimate perfection, which is Shehi Saidis HaTorah. The soul will not be able to gaze and to truly absorb and to hear and to process Pnimis HaTorah well, because of the stain that comes on the neshama. Kedei lidavik baitzura, in order that it should become real. In other words, it's like what are these tzaddikim, like what are these mikubon, what do they see? Like, you know what I mean? Like, like what exactly? They're you know, when they see a year, they're seeing the neshama. Ah, what does that mean? I have no idea. Like, what does that mean? What, how do you see that? What does that mean? Mm-hmm. So says Reb Chaim Vital, when through Averis, there's a staining that comes on the person, and that stain, that rust, that soot sort of blocks the vision of the neshama, and it blocks the soul from being able to truly process Pnimiyus HaTorah. Ki lekach nivres. And says Reb Chaim Vital, this is why we're created, in order to experience elikus, to be sensitive to ruchnius. There's all different madrigas. We're talking about being sensitive to ruchnius, I mean, ad kedei kach, that you actually experience ruchnius as more real than even gashmius. But any level of sensitivity to ruchnius, the neshama needs to see it. There needs to be a transparency. L'chein shoylen, I say, that's why Chazal say that after 120, the person is asked, one of the questions they're asked is, tzipisa b'shir kaima, did you gaze upon the secrets of Torah? What do you mean, to gaze upon it, to look at it? I mean, I looked at a sefer. In the other parts of Torah, the language that Chazal use is like, did you learn Mishnayos? Did you learn Gemara? But over here, when it comes to Pnimiyus HaTorah, the question is, did you gaze upon the chariot? Did you gaze upon? Because the answer is, Shem Sadis HaTorah, because it's about an experience. V'avayin, and the effect of sin, nasa mesech mavdil beino lebein kaina. It creates a separation between the person and his creator. So it creates that problem. To be able to see and process holy things. And he goes on to say, this is the effect of the sin. So he says, in this context, says Reb Chaim Vital, so he says, Ayidei Moreinu HaKadosh Ha'ari HaOliki Rabbeinu Yitzchak, and so on, through the Ari HaKadosh, the Arizal came and was Megala, the keys, in order to clean the nefesh from this rust and from this soot and this staining, in order to allow the neshama to be able to experience elikus and to be sensitive to ruchnias. Adkan. This is the key. In other words, like this. The Arizal is not saying that in order for tshuva, in order to get a kapara, in order for Hashem to say, you know what, we're good now, like don't worry about it. The Arizal is not saying that you need to fast hundreds of times to do that. That's not the avodah. The Gemara says we have klolim in tshuva. The Gemara says in Yuma, if a person violated nasei, all you have to do is just say you're sorry and Hashem is meichel. If it's a loisa, say, okay, so wait till Yom Kippur. There's the Chazal already. The Rambam talks about like what you have to do to get a kapara. The Arizal is not talking about that. The Arizal is saying something else. You have a kapara. It's not a problem. But there's a staining. The person is, there's a mechitza, there's some sort of blockage. The person can't experience ruchnius as much as before. To this, the Arizal was megala, the inyan of the fasting, in particular numbers. And these numbers that the Arizal was megala in Shaar Ruach HaKodesh is for this purpose, to help remove these stains. Ad kan. Okay. So let's clarify a little bit more. What's the inyan of these staining? What part of the soul, what part of the person do these stains... Where do these stains go? Like, what part of the person needs to be put in the laundry exactly through these fasting? Comes the Rosh Hashanah. The Rosh Hashanah, one of the songs that we have from the Rosh Hashanah is to say for Nahar Shalom. The Rosh Hashanah himself didn't print it and didn't, like, you know, put it together like that. It's a compilation of his notes. But it's in Har Shalom. So in the Har Shalom, there's a piece that's called Hakdomas Malbish Arumim. I've quoted this before. And the bracha that we see in the morning is Malbish Arumim. So the bracha of Malbish Arumim, the Rosh Hashanah has a whole Hakdoma to explain that bracha. And the Rosh Hashanah basically explains this idea from Chaim Vital, from the Arizal, the following way. I'll use the terms of Chassidus that we're probably more familiar with, right? So we know that, you know, we have two parts, right? There's the neshama and the guf. But those that learn, even if you've only gotten like a chapter or two into Tanya, you know that it's that when we talk about neshama and the guf, it's more complicated than that. That's for sure. You know, you don't have to go too far to Tanya to know that. It's more complicated. But the term that the Baal Tanya uses very often is that you have a nefesh lakis. You have the neshama is a godly soul, but then you have a body. But between your nefesh lakis and your body, there's another layer. What's the layer? Nefesh bahamis, klipas noiga, nefesh bahamis, the animal soul. The animal soul means the part of you that's human, the midas that you have, your personality, the nefesh bahamis. That term nefesh bahamis, that goes back to Rishonim. Rishonim used that term. The Rosh Hashanah in that Hakdama to Malbish Arumim, the Rosh Hashanah over there explains is that the ultimate key in order to experience Ruchnias, it goes without saying that obviously the person has to keep Torah mitzvahs, right? So in order to experience Ruchnias, your neshama has to be healthy. And the way your neshama is healthy is by keeping Torah mitzvahs, Kvalt. But you also, to experience Ruchnias, in the language of the Rosh Hashanah, and the Baal Tanya uses the same Lashonis, of to be a Merkava. To mamish experience ruchnis, which is what the Reb Chaim Vital was saying, that the Arizal gave all these fasts to realign the person in this. But in order to be their merkava, says the Rosh Hashanah, you need to have a healthy neshama, which is through Torah mitzvahs. And you need to have a healthy nefesh bahamas. And the Rosh Hashanah over there says, what does it mean to have a healthy nefesh bahamas? So in particular, Rosh Hashanah is talking about the avoid of tikkun amidas, of working on your temper and jealousy, tikkun amidas. Good old-fashioned tikkun amidas. The Rosh Hashanah is talking about that. But says Rosh Hashanah, it's in the nefesh bahamis where this rust and this soot and these stains will accumulate. The neshama itself, the neshama itself is certainly affected by sin, but you do tshuva and the neshama is fine. It's very resilient. The nefesh of Bahamas, on the other hand, can become very, very damaged. It can become scarred very easily. So the nefesh of Bahamas is what a person has to work on. Now, so the Rosh Hashanah, in Malbish Arumim, talks about how to work on the nefesh of Bahamas in terms of like tikkun amidas. And the Rosh Hashanah says over there that if a person works on having a healthy neshama through Torah mitzvahs, with dveikus, iskashus, and so on, and they have a healthy nefesh bahamis with tikkun amidas, then gevaldik, the person's mamash merkava. Then when you a mitzvah shines, ruchnias is real to you. You live in a different universe. That's gevaldik. Now, we see this idea from the Rosh Hashanah is that the part of the person that's stained by sin, that needs to therefore be laundered in order to return to its natural state of allowing the person to experience ruchnias, is the nefesh of Bahamas. That's the part that becomes sullied. Now this, the Rosh Hashanah also explains, is the whole inyan of fasting. Like, why is it that fasting does it? What's the inyan of a fast? So we have so says Rosh Hashanah Vital, there's this problem. You did tshuva, it's gavaldik, but there's a stain. And the Rosh Hashanah explained, the stain is on the nefesh of Bahamas. And that's what's stopping a person from being sensitive to Ruchni. It says there is, okay, no problem, fast 463 times. Whatever. So why fasting? So says the Rosh Hashanah, and again, it's based on things that the Arizal said, but the Rosh Hashanah formulates it. And the Rosh Hashanah writes, and he says this, and there's a when people that do Shoivim, there's a special slichus that the Rosh Hashanah authored. It's called the Anenu, Tefillas Anenu of the Rosh Hashanah. And over there, when you're saying that slichus of the Rosh Hashanah, the slicha, the nusach, is assuming that you're fasting. So part of the Anenu is to talk about the kavanas of fasting. And the Rosh Hashanah says the following thing. He says that the inyan of fasting is to specifically correct the nefesh of Bahamas from these stains, to allow the person's yetzer toiv, which is the good part of the nefesh of Bahamas, to become dominant over the Yetzirah, which is the negative part of the Nefesh of Bahamas, to find yourself having good midas again, and to be more realigned. And the Rasha says, this is the kavan of a tainus. How so? So a little background. By the Mekubalim, the Shemus HaKadosh, everything is in the language of Shemus. So the part of you that's called the Neshama, the Nefesh HaLakis, there's one divine name, which is sort of very much a shidduch with that, which is Yudkei Vavkei. Right? That's the name of Hashem. That's the Iker name of Hashem. So that's a part of it. That's Chelik Elakami Mamamish, is Yudkei Vavkei. But there's the other name, which is more associated with Nefesh HaBahamis, that's the name Elohim. The name Elohim is also named Kaddish, but that name Elohim could also be hijacked by the other side. You could have Elohim Acherim, right? So that name Elohim is a name that's associated with Nefesh HaBahamas. So says the Rashash like this: if you take the name Elohim, okay, if you take the name Elohim and you spell it in full, right? So Aleph Lamed Pei Aleph Lamed Lamed Mem Dalid. You spell it in full, okay, and you do. And you take the name Elohim in full, and you spell it Acharayim. Acharayim means Aleph, Aleph Lamed, Aleph Lamed Hey, Aleph Lamed Hey Yud, Aleph Lamed Hey Yud Mem. You do it like that, and each letter is spelled in full. It equals Bigamatria 800. Okay, so now you have Tuf, which are the first and last letters of the word Tainus. Okay, now you take the name Elohim, simple the name Elohim, and you the name Elohim in full, but not the gematria, just the number of letters, and you do that times 10. 10 Elohims. 10 Elohims equals 130 letters, which are the middle letters of the word Tainus, Al Ayin Nun Yud. That's 130. So now the reason why these two permutations of the name Elohim. So this is, again, I'm saying this in parentheses, any infrastructure, you know, even the Nefesh HaBahamas, the infrastructure of Nefesh HaBahamas, everything has a front side and a back side, a panim and achar. So since the Nefesh HaBahamas, the structure of Nefesh HaBahamas is the name Elohim, is connected to the name Elohim, so you have to connect to the Nefesh of the front side, of the panim of the Nefesh HaBahamas, and the acharayim of the Nefesh HaBahamas. The panim of the Nefesh HaBahamas is going to be the 10 Elohims spelled in full straight. That's the 130 in the middle. The Elohim Acharayim, that's like always turning around, always going back to where it comes from, right? So it's like going forward, but, you know, always turning around. Aleph, Aleph Lamed, Aleph Lamed Hey, and so on. That's the name Elohim of the Acharayim of the Nefesh HaBahamas. So says the Rashash, the Kavan of Atainis is revolving around the name Elohim, because the name Elohim is connected to the Chitzainis, to the Nefesh HaBahamas of a person, because that's the part that you're trying to be misakin with the Atainis, because that's the part that becomes stained by sin, that stops you from experiencing Elokus. So that's the Inyan. So the whole Inyan of fasting, that the Rizal was Megala, comes out based on the Rashash, is to realign and to be misakin your Nefesh HaBahamas. Okay. Mela. Once we have that, now we know why Tzedakah takes care of this automatically without any fasting at all. Why? It's a maimer from the Baal HaTanya. So the Baal HaTanya in Likutei Torah in Parshas Re'eh. The Baal HaTanya talks about it like this. You know, it says in Kriyat Shema, we say, V'havtas Hashem Elokecha, b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, u'b'chol ma'idecha. What does it mean, b'chol ma'idecha? So b'chol ma'idecha means all your strength. What does that mean? So Chazal give two interpretations, right? B'chol ma'idecha, one interpretation Chazal say is, b'chol ma'idecha, b'chol me'maincha. In other words, with your money. In other words, tzedakah. B'chol ma'idecha is associated with tzedakah. The other explanation of b'chol ma'idecha is from Chazal, that b'chol ma'idecha means to give everything you have, even the very essence of who you are. Yichida shebenefesh, the very deepest part of who you are, mamish, the nekuda, the yichida shebenefesh, to give that over to Hashem with mesiris nefesh, not just your goof, mamish, yichida shebenefesh, that's b'chol ma'idcha. Mamish. So the Baal Tanya of your Parashas Re'eh is dealing with, like, those are two. What does one have to do with the other? You're talking about, like, one interpretation of b'chol ma'idecha in the Zohar Kaddish is to give over mamish, like, the yichida shebenefesh. And then the other interpretation is to give money, to write a check for tzedakah. We're going to do the other. So just a few lines. It says about time like this, Amnam. And says in Pasuk, Hatzedakah teroimim goy. That tzedakah uplifts the nation. So what is this nation that the Pasuk is talking about? It's from the Klal Yisrael. So that's about time. Since when is Klal Yisrael called goy? Right? I mean, goy means a nation, so technically it applies to us, but like that's not the term. Tzedakah teroimim goy zeh Yisrael. And he says the truth is we have another Pasuk, Mikam Chi Yisrael, goy echad barach. So this is about Tanya. What part of Yisrael can you use the term goy for? It says about Tanya, Hainu Nefesh HaBahamas. So it says the Pasuk, Tzedakah teroimim goy. Tzedakah teroimim goy. Tzedakah has the kayach of uplifting the part of a yid that's called goy, which means your Nefesh HaBahamas. Shaydei HaTzedakah says about Tanya, through Tzedakah, Sh'adam Oysa, that a person does, Nefredes v'nevdelas Nefesh HaBahamas min Arah HaGomor. It has a kayach, there's a skula to tzedakah more than any other mitzvah. Tanya writes this, he writes this in Sefer Tanya also, Perek Lamed Zayin, I think it is, many places. But Tanya says over there that in Yerushalmi, when the Yerushalmi talks about mitzvah, stam mitzvah in the Yerushalmi, it's tzedakah. It says about Tanya, because the kayach of tzedakah, to a certain degree, in this quality of uplifting your nefesh of Bahamas and realigning it and fixing it and cleaning it out, the kayach of tzedakah is greater than any other mitzvah that we have. So he says, "Umemrei remes gam hi liyos kol midaisel uvushel Hashem levadai." Through tzedakah, there's a kayach of tzedakah. You have to connect to it well, but when you connect to tzedakah, it has the kayach of uplifting the nefesh of Bahamas and to realign all your midas and to realign all your human traits Hashem levadai. V'hu b'chinas says the Baal Tanya. This is the reason for this, or this is connected to the idea of Madregas Baal Tshuva, the Nidva Baal Tshuva, which says about Tanya, B'makin Shabal Tshuva Oimdim, right? Ein Tzedek Mechol Lamed, when a person is able to uplift the Nefesh of Bahamas. So that what happens is that the Nefesh of Bahamas, which was until now disconnected from real Avodas Hashem, that's now brought back into the fold, so to speak, now it's Bechinis Baal Tshuva. And a Baal Tshuva is able to go places that a Tzadei Gomer can't go. And the Baal Tanya goes on to say, why does tzedakah have this quality? So he goes on, again, there's a lot of deep ideas over here, but the Tanya says like this, V'zeu teroimim goy. This is the idea that tzedakah is able to uplift the goy. She is habchu amidas shebenefesh habahamis, that it converts, it's mahapich, it changes the midas of the nefesh habahamis, l'dovka bo yisporch, to be attached to Hashem. V'hainu, Adi tzedakah dafka, through tzedakah specifically. Why? Ki b'midas shadam moideid moideidin loy. And this is the key. Through the way that a person acts, that's how he's acted upon from above. U'kamayishu merachem al ha'ani. So what's tzedakah? Tzedakah is rachmanis. Tzedakah is an expression of your rachmanis and your empathy towards someone that needs help. So there's an ani, whatever the madrig, you know, whatever it is, and the ani needs help, and you, Baruch Hashem, have funds, and you have rachmanis, and you're merachim on the ani. Lahachiyos nafshoy b'mesei rav, to give him sustenance from chas v'shalom dying in hunger. So the ani of tzedakah is to have rachmanis. It's an expression of your rachmanis, and specifically to help out someone that's downtrodden, that's low, that's stuck in a low place. So kach milamala, so too from above. Mizgalgalim rachamim hamarubim, mimakar rachamim, that there's an awakening of rachamim rabim from the highest of places, al nafshoy, on your nefesh abamis. Because within you, you have two parts. You have the gvir in you, that's called the nefesh alakis. Chazal say, ein ani el badas, that the definition of poverty in Chazal means ruchni sensitivity. So your neshama has all the funds. Your nefesh abamis is an ani bepesach, is a poor person by the door. By you giving tzedakah bepayel, that has the Rabban Hashem's rachmanis on you, and it will uplift your ani, your nefesh abahamis, to become realigned with your balabas, with your nefesh alakis. And to a certain degree, in Chassidus we find that this therefore comes out that what? That the same tikkun, the same avoida that tzedakah does in the kisveri, and specifically in the kisveri, in the model of the Arizal, which is to realign and to clean out the nefesh abahamis, as we saw from Ruchaim Vital, and the way the Rosh Hashanah explains it with the Kavan of Tainis, it's all about fixing the Nefesh of Bahamas. Well, says the Baal Tanya, tzedakah does that mamish. Forget not, so it's not being poida, like, it's the tzedakah has that koyach. So you want to fast also is also gevaldik, but tzedakah has that koyach. More than that, in Chassidus we're taught that it's not just that tzedakah can do this also. To a certain degree, tzedakah is greater. Why? Because when it comes to a fast, what's the model that fasting realigns the nefesh of Bahamas? It realigns the nefesh of Bahamas by making it shvacher, by making it weaker, by making it skinnier, right? That's the way it does it, which in Chassidus is called iskafia. It's called, you know, beating it over the head to submit, which is, again, it's a madrega. But what's tzedakah? Tzedakah teroinim guy. Tzedakah takes the part of you that's nation, the part of you that's nefesh Bahamas, and uplifts it. It's mishapech, it's ishafcha, it converts it into something that's good. That's what Rachmanis does. Rachmanis, what's Rachmanis? I mentioned this many times, that in Chassidus, Rachmanis is an unbelievable zach. Rachmanis, when a person wants to do chesed, so you could stop, you could block chesed. You could block chesed by saying the guy doesn't deserve it. The guy super doesn't deserve it. But when it comes to rachamim, all the more so I have Rachmanis on him. So the fact that this nefesh of Bahamas is like downtrodden and undeserving, it's in a low place for a reason. Adav yadarabah, that's the more reason to have rachmanis on it. That's what tzedakah teroinim guy does. Says the Baal Tanya, this is why the same term b'chol maidecha, which means to give tzedakah, also means to connect from yichidah of a nefesh, because it's davka the ability of converting. The most chitzoniest, there's a principle, the Baal Tanya says many times, that the great, in order to uplift the very, very bottom, you know, if you want to pick up a heavy package, Baal Tanya gives this mashal, if you want to pick up a heavy package, the best way to do it is to get it from the bottom, right? You get it from the top, it's, you know, the thing might snap in half, you know, you want to get the box from the bottom, and then you'll be able to uplift it. To illuminate something very, very dark, low, you know, you have to have a very big light. So in order to, notice, says about Tanya, what's happening with tzedakah is that you're awakening rachamim. There's an evoking of rachamim on your nefesh of Bahamas. But what's the mechanics? So Hashem wants, okay, so now there's rachamim rabim, and now the Rabbanu Shalom is now wants to give you the opportunity to uplift your nefesh of Bahamas. But what's the mechanics of it? Well, the mechanics of it is that davka, in order to illuminate and to uplift your nefesh of Bahamas, since the Rabbanu Shalom wants to help you to do that because he gets tzedakah, what the Rabbanu Shalom is going to do is trigger your yechida. He's going to trigger the deepest part of your neshama. And that's the mechanics of it. The deepest part of the neshama is able to uplift and enliven and enlighten the most extreme nefesh of Bahamas. So, but you need something to trigger your yechida of a nefesh. Once the yichidah of a nefesh is triggered, then of course the nefesh of Bahamas is illuminated. The greatest light illuminates the greatest darkness. But what triggers your nefesh, your yichidah of a nefesh? Says the Tanya, the rachamim of Hashem, what the Rabbanu Shem will do out of compassion for you is that he will trigger your yichidah of a nefesh. And what did you do to trigger to get that rachamim? Tzedakah. So therefore says the Pasuk, b'chol maidecha, you give tzedakah, that itself is also b'chol maidecha. That itself also is ma'ir your yichidah of a nefesh. And so this is hachakol, that's why the minhag ha'olam is, that's the great irony. The reason why people nowadays don't fast hundreds of times, you know, and it's not because we don't need it, right? The reason is because, there's a weakness, the generations are weaker. So we have no choice but to rely on tzedakah. But that we see that how the Rabbanu Shalom fears the veld. He makes it work in such a way where the satan is excited about the shvachkeit of the generation. It's like, oh, they're just giving tzedakah to be paid that they're fasting. Oh, that's no big deal. But really, in Pnimius, from the lens of Chassidus and the Rishash, it's the biggest thing in the world. It's the biggest rachman. It's the biggest rachman. This is why I mentioned this from the Kamarna in one of the you know, when we learned by Pirkei Avos and one of the Mishnayos, the Kamarna mentioned this, that the greatest example in all of history, it's not going to be such a shock, of someone whose nefesh of Bahamas was completely transparent, was completely on the same page, not one stain, who experienced ruchnius more than anyone else, is obviously Moshe Rabbeinu. It's Moshe Rabbeinu, shal ne'alechem al raglecha, the Tanya, the Kamarna quoted from the Arizal, when Hashem said, take your shoes off by the burning bush. That was like, okay, your nefesh of Bahamas is completely not going to get in the way at all. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. Rav Nachman writes in the Kut Maran and Tinyan Ches He quotes from the pasuk, "Ki meracham av yinahagim," that the one that the leader, the manig hador, the one that leads Klal Yisrael, the Moshe Rabbeinu of the generation or of any particular grouping of Klal Yisrael, the Moshe Rabbeinu has to primarily, more than anything else, has to have the midas rachman. The Zohar says that Moshe milgav, Yaakov milabar. Moshe is on the inside, Yaakov is on the outside. Yaakov is rachman. The way that Moshe Rabbeinu, the Nishmas Moshe, uplifts the lowest of Yidden is through the midas rachman. So neshamas that are Moshe Rabbeinu dik, they have this strong understanding that midas rachman is the key. That as long as there's an awakening of rachmanis on another Yid, then that already is all that they all that's required. Once there's a hisayrus of rachman, then the Rabbanu Shalom triggers the yichidish of nefesh, and once the yichidish of nefesh is illuminated, the deepest part, that nekuda pnimis, that you know that pintle yid, that chelik lekamiyam mamish, that nekuda of mamish, then everything is illuminated. Forget subdued. Taneisim does that, but we're talking about illuminated. That's a whole different avod. That's tzedakah teroimim goy. That's why. It's Davka Shaivim, this Avaida comes this time. It's a hachana for Tu B'Shvat. What's Tu B'Shvat? Tu B'Shvat is celebrate, is Rosh Hashanah, Leilonis. We try to connect to the Paris of the fruit of the trees, right? Paris Elon. Paris. What does it mean, Paris? So the tree itself means your Avaida, means your Torah Mitzvahs. What's the Paris? The Paris is like the Schar, right? Paris represent a person's sensitivity to ruchnius. It's like you have two yidden, right? Both yidden are putting on tefillin. Both yidden are keeping Shabbos. Both yidden are learning Gemara every day. Both yidden are learning Chumash. They're doing Gevaldik Zachin. One yid, it has the Paris of it, and one yid, the Paris are being stored away for at some other time for him to be able to experience it. Everything that you do produces Paris. But what does it mean, the Paris? So one yid is experiencing the ruchnius, is sensitive to it, is excited by the tefillin, becomes awakened by the tefillin, becomes awakened by his learning, becomes awakened by his davening. That means he's tasting the paris. And the other yid is also producing paris. Of course, everything is produced and it's harvested and it's fresh. You'll get it. It'll taste fresh off the vine. But l'maisa, the person's not tasting it yet. So the inyan of Tu B'Shvat is to be zoicha to taste the fruit. How does a person taste the fruit? Well, again, the taste of fruit means that your nefesh bahamis has to be cleaned out from all the stains. Well, how do you do that? Well, so the old school way was the weeks of Shoivim, which Tu B'Shvat is a part of, which is Taneisim and fasting. But Chassidus is Megala, it's through the Midas HaRachman. If you could evoke, if you could allow, motivate and inspire and awaken the Midas HaRachman on you, then that itself is how you're going to be Zaychet to have payers. What does it mean to? How do you evoke the midas rachamim? So tzedakah teroimim goy. But it means more than like as Baltani explained. It's not just tzedakah. Any chesed, any time that you awaken empathy, that you have empathy towards another yid, and have empathy towards yourself, that means kimirachum v'yinag. It means you're bechinas moishah. It means you're tapping into that truth of the nefesh abam is being uplifted and being illuminated. And mamela, you'll taste your own peiros. So everything a person can do in order to be Moir Rachmim, in order to have Rachmanis. And this is what comes out, is that, the Rosh Hashanah writes over there in Malbash Arumim, that when the Nefesh of Bahamas is cleaned out, and the person is able to taste the fruits of their labor, and they're able to be sensitive to Ruchnis, that's Gula. That's Mamish Gula. Because, I mean, obviously it's not Mashiach Becholos, but Mashiach Pratis, and that's a taste of your own personal redemption. Because what's redemption? Redemption is that you experience the Paris, right? It's like you're working, Hazarm B'dimah, Barini Yaksayra, right? So it's like to experience, Mashiach means all the work of Golas will be able to experience in Gula. So a person is like to taste the Paris, to be able to taste the Paris even now, then that's mamish Gula. It says in Pasuk, this week's Parsha, when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, Uvnei Yisrael Yoytzim, B'Yad Ramah. Right? The Jewish people leave Mitzrayim. That's the pasuk. Describe the Jewish people leave Mitzrayim. That's Gula, right? Yitzim Mitzrayim is the first Gula, which reflects the final Gula. Yoytzim v'yad Ramah. So it's a well-known joke, whatever. It's not a funny joke, but it's a line, that the pasuk can say that in Ashkenaz, B'nei Yisrael, Yoytzim v'yad Ramah. right? Rama, the pasuk is spelled resh mem hey, which means an outstretched arm. But the line is, the Q line is, B'nai Yisrael Yotzim B'yad Rama, resh mem aleph, Rama Yisrael Yisrael. It's the Rama. We go with the Rama. But it's not a joke. It's not a joke. How does Gula happen? Gula itself means that the Nefesh of Bahamas is realigned the Nefesh of Lekis. That's to have your Paris. That's Gula. But in the earlier days, the only way for that to happen was what? With Tanesim and Sigufim and Gula with Mulchamis and difficulties. But now that you have Chassidus, the Rishash, explaining what Tanesim is really about. And Chassidus comes to explain that what? That the Midas Harachamim is Ma'ira, the same Tikkun that Tanesim does. And Tzedakah Befrat is able to repile that. So now, B'nai Yisrael Yoitzim, Klaisu Ogara of Golas, Golas Gula Shlema, in a Yitzis Mitzrayim Dika way, which is Biad Ramah, which is an outstretched arm, Bereish Goli, like Rashi says, and, you know, with Mamish Rachmim Rabim, not Tzebrochen, and not being beaten along the way, Chas V'Shalom, but coming out like Mamish Kaimim Mius Lartzenu, is Biad Ramah, because the Ramah Paskins and Hilchas Tainis said you could be Paid the Tainis with fasting. And even though that fasting that the Rama was talking about was before the Arizal, but now that you have the Arizal and the Gilei of Chassidus, it means the same psak of the Rama, which is B'Shem the Ravid, that you could be paid to fast with tzedakah. That's exactly how B'nai Yisrael will yotzu. That's how we'll come out of Golos too, with that sight. The word dollar, I guess it's a little bit of a joke, but I don't know if maybe it is, maybe it's not. I have no idea. He spelled dollar. There's different ways to spell it. You spell it with the miloi, because he wanted to be as potent as possible. Edigas v'gmatri Rama. So maybe that's what maybe that's part of the kavanah. When the Rebbe was giving out dollars, he's saying, instead of going through Yisurin, and instead of Chas V'Shalom having to fast thousands of times, here's a dollar, give tzedakah in my name. B'nei Yisrael Yoitzim B'yad Rama. Your Nefesh HaBahamas will be realigned. The Rebbe will have Rachmanis on you. The Rebbe was saying, I have Rachmanis on you. Moshe Rabbeinu has Rachmanis on you. It's my Rachman Rabbim. And the Mela from there, the Rabbanu Shalom will illuminate your Yechidish of a Nefesh. And once your Yechidish of a Nefesh is illuminated, your Nefesh of Bahamas is illuminated. And then you could come out of Golas, Bereish Goli, with an outstretched head and an outstretched arm, and with Rachman Rabbim. And because we pass like the Ramah, that you could be paid the Tzedakah with, you could pay the Tainis with Tzedakah. The Iker is to have Rachmanis, the Rabbanu Shalom Rachmanis on us. We shall rachmanis on ourselves, have rachmanis on other yidden, and from there all the tikkunim will take place. Barach bin Rabin, bnei Yisrael Yotzim biad Ramav, bi'eskol tzedek barach bin meher v'yameinu. Amen.